Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, there will never be any peace. No, there will never be any peace until Yah is seated at the conference table. For a long time, my brothers and sisters, men conceived all manner of diverse ideology, different perceptions, different so-called promises as to what would finally bring peace to this world. For my brothers and sisters, the Most High had already declared a plan before there was any man. So let it now be discerned, my brothers and sisters, what indeed is the plan of the Most High Yah. Welcome, my brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome, welcome again to another episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very, very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back here with you again. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he's told me that I have for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me that because of what I must do for him, yes, indeed, he said I'd accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me, my brothers and sisters, that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his, I said, his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. Quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, so should you. The Most High has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could from the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. But we know those who will hold to the promises of the Most High, Yah. We know that everything done in the darkness must come to the light. All that which the world has sought to deny must yet be revealed. And surely, though a whole world, my brothers and sisters, be turned a multitude of different ways to believe all kind of different scenarios, different eventualities, different concepts of even what is the initial purpose for which this world was made. Most High has declared, my brothers and sisters, he will surely keep his promises. I said the Most High has forsworn that he will surely keep his promises, and all that he has spoken shall surely in all things come to pass. Who's willing to hear it, my brothers and sisters? Will you hold to the promise of the Most High, knowing that the Most High must see all that he has declared come to pass? Know that that can be the only hope of peace. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, there never has been, nor shall there ever be peace any other way. There's only one salvation, my brothers and sisters, just as sure as there's only one Savior. Yah, my brothers and sisters, has declared a plan by which his people shall be redeemed. And it is they who have had that faith who look and do understand the meaning of the scripture, they will wait. They wait for the Lord. They wait for the Most High to renew their strength. Shall discern their ancient spiritual strength beyond all the diversities that men have spoken among the nations. Those who understand that promise or will come swiftly to understand it. They are the ones, my brothers and sisters, who have had the faith. Because I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, wherever it has been in this world, I said, wherever it has been in this world that men have been compelled to believe different eventualities, different concepts of what is aspiration, dream, and purpose for those who believe, wherever men have been taught different standards, different expectations, different scenarios toward what is indeed is salvation. Let me tell you something, my brothers, every single one of them has been a demon that men have worshipped. Every single one of them, my brothers and sisters, has been false allegiance, has been sin, has been curses, has been a multitude of damnations. For so often when men born of this world, perceiving only after what they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, not discerning by the Spirit, what men choose and have chosen often to believe, been predisposed to believe, men oftentimes desire that standard and that those standards, if you will, alone, be counted wise unto salvation, have so often, my brothers and sisters, been taught to hate and despise that which Yah has declared, surely in all things must be. Here, my brothers and sisters, I must tell you that what the world by and large has thought to consider righteousness, what it has been led to believe by the media, by the status quo, by both church and state to believe is the quote-unquote way in which souls of men should be redeemed. In fact, even what the world has taught men to believe is salvation is far from initial hope and definition. I said it's far from what is initial and everlasting hope and definition. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who discern the truth, not seeking the praise of men, but then rather seek what would be the salvation of men. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will not be found so selfishly ambitious and fearful that they will not stand up in the face of the truth. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who, when they find what is the reality, they know they must change for the blessedness of all. For such is the nature of a covenant, my brothers and sisters. For when the scriptures tell Israel as a prime directive, as a command, "Hear, O Israel, Yah is one," it means that all my brothers and sisters who are called to his name must seek to not only fully discern, but keep, preserve, defend, yes indeed, in the fullness of his integrity, all that holy word, my brothers and sisters, that the name of the Most High declares. And whoever my brothers and sisters it is that will not uphold the fullness of that testimony will not be found worthy of the name that Yah has signed and sealed from the beginning upon the contract. We've been talking a lot this week about some very precious truths. On last evening, by the way, we had a little difficulty getting BTR bandwidth up working. And it was toward the end of the show. There was also a little bit of breakup, some kind of way. Don't understand exactly what all occurred that brought it to bear. But there was a little dropout in Blog Talk service. I do have every intention to go back in and edit last evening's show. Prayerfully, we will get beyond that little problem tonight. Yes, indeed. And we'll finish tonight's show and the things that need to be said in it without a hitch, speaking all these things quite thoroughly. But like I said, I have every intention to go back in and edit toward the end of last evening's show to assure that the message that should have been related on last evening shall be. We've been talking a lot, my brothers and sisters, of late about what it means to really overcome all the illusions, the false vision, the false aspirations, the misallegiances, the sin, the blindness, my brothers and sisters, the arrogances of ignorance that men have been taught in this world that have caused men to despise and not even seek, and so many times be flattered, my brothers and sisters, not even to seek what is beyond earthly status quo. My brothers and sisters, the Most High considers every illusion that men have been compelled to believe as an obstacle against his truth. Quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the Most High considers every nation. I repeat, the Most High considers every nation that has taught men to have a different sense of expectation, a different concept of what is divine requirement, or that has compelled men to compromise idea what is lawful before Yah. Most High counts every one of those standards among the nations. In fact, every nation that has done so, quite frankly, my brother and sister, he counts as adversarial. What else can he count it? When nations across the world, my brothers and sisters, have avowed themselves according to their own traditions, that they will never speak what is truly the message of the Most High. We've been talking about a lot in the last few weeks. Preparation for Passover, actually. It was a few nights away now. New moon, hey, coming up first part of this upcoming week. And shortly thereafter, my brothers and sisters, the time the Most High calls Pesach, Passover, the time that He has called His people to remember what it is that we should honor Him for and the blessedness of His name and drawing His people out from the midst of the pollutions of the nations. Looking forward then also to my brothers and sisters to the day when the Most High must do the same thing again. For none of the diverse pollutions of the nation, my brothers and sisters, are true to the one initial plan. If man had been true to what the Most High declared from the beginning, he would understand that any of the contentions that exist among men is a result of sin. Yah's one. Think about it. Most High has a wisdom, my brothers and sisters, a plan. An objective that He has not only promised must come to bear on this earth, but true to His name, must come to bear on this earth. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, what I mean by this is this. And since the Most High has declared that what shall be is true to what He declared and what He created and intended this world for from the very beginning, it means that wherever nations have taught anything else, they've been antithetical against the gospel. They've been antithetical against the hope of peace. They've been antithetical against the hope of a holy covenant. My brothers and sisters, wherever men have taught other than what the Most High Himself declared, men have taught illusions. They've taught, my brothers and sisters, lies conceived after the flesh and not revealed by the Spirit. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, by the Holy Spirit, men can only speak one testimony. All the apostles, all the prophets, my brothers and sisters, since the beginning of the world, and it must be understood that man was created a prophet. How else could he commune with the Most High Yah? How else could he discern the will of the Most High Yah, but by His Spirit? Understand what's meant, my brothers and sisters, when the Scripture says that the Most High breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. More than just a naphish, a spirit of animation was granted to man. Man was given communion with the Most High, for communion with the Most High is man's purpose. It must be understood then that wherever it is that men have been compelled to believe otherwise, other than what the Spirit would reveal, other than what the Word is declared, what the Spirit is declared as the Word of Yah, wherever men have taught something other than that initial premise, my brothers and sisters, it's not been the work of the Holy Spirit. 30,000 denominations all saying something different. It has not been the work of the Most High. It has not been the work of His Spirit. 192 denominations out here calling themselves believers. Not been the work of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. Wherever it is that men have taught doctrines, not seeking to be true to the fullness of the Word, and not seeking the fullness of the Word, and easily compromised by flattery, seeking to appease men and not Yah. All of these, my brothers and sisters, have in some way been the work of an unholy spirit, with which the Most High can never be pleased. We've talked about how this world we live in, amazingly enough, Scripture talks about the law of Yah, the law of spirit and life, the law that teaches all things, no lie in it. In other words, having in it no contentiousness, no deceit against the pure, perfect will of Yah. And what the scripture calls the law of sin and death. Think about it. Many are the ways of sin right unto men, the scripture says, but the end thereof is death. I repeat, it says many are the ways of sin right unto men. Was it Proverbs 14:12, 16:25? There's a way. I would even say many other ways. The same right unto men, but the end thereof is death. And the law, the flaw of this world, is that men seek to give credence to all the differences of belief that exist among men, and even command men unto pluralist, faithless, far less than steadfast titles. Yes, my brothers and sisters, men have called it the way of a particular nation or denomination to uphold many concepts which the Most High never spoke, which were never lawful before him. And men are taught to accept what is lawless before Yah as viable because the people or ruler in his lawlessness has compelled men to follow after what Yah can never sanction. Such is the flaw of this world, such is the false law of this world, that men have been compelled, as part of worldly institutions and organizations, to sit back and just consider it something to be even catered to, compromised with, tolerated. What the Most High has said, my brothers and sisters, could never be under life and only can be under death. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Men have been told in this society in so many ways to tolerate what they knew, what they should know, has been to the damnation of their own children. I find that, my brothers and sisters, a very, very wicked environment. Most High tells us the Messiah certainly will declare that there's no peace to the lawless, to the wicked, to the lawless. No peace, no hope of peace. While those in place of power, places of power take control of all the resources and territories of the earth and command that men must walk after compromise, that they be called before men wise. I find it amazing, truly I do. I look around and I see the kind of things we see in the various forms of media today. The insanity, my brothers and sisters, that men have been compelled in this society to count as acceptable. Things, my brothers and sisters, concepts, ideas, lascivious and fleshly designs, which the Most High never once sanctioned. But in this world today, my brothers and sisters, people say it's okay. Majority rule. Oh, my brothers and sisters, isn't it time we understand something very simple? Ancient Rome, I'll just give you an example, among polytheists. Ancient Rome, ancient Greece. These were people who always thought it their advantage. Thought it even was their right to worship whatever so-called concept of God, a deity, they daggum well pleased. Did you hear me? They felt it was their right to honor whatever God, whatever form of God, the form they thought was godliness, after even the imaginations of their own hearts, that they doggone well pleased. So think about it. When the gospel went forth, the Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations, really, ultimately, there's only one Savior. There's only one truth. There's only one, my brothers and sisters, King, and there's only one Most High. Think about how Rome look to that concept. Think about it. Roman rulers, my brothers and sisters, basically had no respect for the idea of what the scriptures say when it says the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Hey, to the pagans, that basically meant, in other words, they dismissed that entirely. To the pagans, my brothers and sisters, the earth belonged to whoever among men they said ruled it. What does the scripture say in Daniel 11? He says, the false kings of this world, the antichrists of this world, those who despise the fact that the Most High already declared a standard. I hope you understand what I'm getting at here. He said they will exalt themselves above all things. Pagan kings oftentimes said, okay, we have the favor from the Most God, so therefore they rule. Scripture says they hate the Holy Covenant. They hate the idea about there being one deity. They hate the idea about there being an absolute. They say they took away their fun. Took away from their carnivals. Took away from their fleshly designs and desires. They themselves even knew that flesh, my brothers and sisters, is undisciplined. They even knew themselves, my brothers and sisters, that every man walking according to the desires of his own mind and heart, my brothers and sisters, by no means was the will of one. They knew, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed. Well, let's just say when the gospel went forth, many began to understand the meaning of the scripture. Says, go forth and teach all nations. Messiah said to do everything that he commands after a comforter that teaches what must cast aside all the contentions and warfare of man. The scripture says, comfort ye, O my people. Repent ye, O my people. It talks about turning back toward one standard that all contentiousness, warfare, misopinion, misallegiance, misadministration, illusions and lies that have possessed the hearts of men should be no more, that warfare should cease. That's what Messiah meant when he said, go forth and teach all nations. That's what he meant when he said, told his disciples. Yes, disciples. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. A disciple does not seek to overthrow his master. A disciple follows after his master, the discipline of his master. He respects his master. Think about what the scripture says Messiah will come saying. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? There's no calculation of all that is divine understanding, meaning that man should always be seeking Yah. But my brothers and sisters, there's a greater glory from the Most High that men have chosen not to see, that they might exalt themselves in the blindness and the arrogances of ignorance that comes as a result of walking in darkness. Like I said, what did the heathen do? They had no intention to bow down to the will of one. Hey, Roman, not just Roman rulers, but the Roman people. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. All their grand so-called festivities were built around men walking after whatever form of misrule pleased their own hearts, and they called it worship. In the midst of what is called the Saturnalia, Bacchanalia, Brumalia, there was one chosen that was called the Lord of Misrule. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time to understand what this Bacchus, this Santa Claus concept really is. This concept that people talk about, when they talk about it at Easter time, they talk about putting away divine law. You put away divine law, what else is that but misrule? You put away divine law, my brothers and sisters. You tell people the Messiah gave his life for sins. It is Most High accept an offering of the multitude of the world's divisions and contentiousness. Think about it. He's not the author of confusion, my brothers and sisters. Do people really believe that Yah sent Messiah to sanction every division, every contention, every misopinion, every misadministration, everything that has wrought warfare in this world, that Messiah would be called the king? I hope you understand what I'm saying. The king of an evil Babylon? He is not the father of confusion, my brothers and sisters. Messiah comes by the Spirit of the Most High Yah, to declare what is peace. Think about it. Purity and completion offers one choice. The Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things. No lie in it. He said, go forth and teach all nations everything he commands. He said, baptize them in this name and this authority. That means come unto the pure and perfect truth with which the Most High is pleased. And that was a command that went forth unto all the other nations. And we said, make disciples of all the nations. Certainly, he meant, my brothers and sisters, that men must transcend their rulers, all the unrighteousness of their fallen, misguided. Yes, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways. How about this? It's going to sound hard for a lot of folks to accept. Demon-possessed rulers. Think about it. Revelation 16 said these unclean spirits went forth to the kings of the earth. Sounds so much like what happened to Pharaoh. Heart was hardened that he couldn't receive or accept the righteousness of Yah. And look what the end result of that was. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? Look at what the end result of that was. Mankind is going to have to understand that either he seeks with all the love in his heart the righteousness of Yah, or else he might not be counted worthy, my brothers and sisters, to receive adequate, if you will, warning in due season. I told you, the Most High has told me, I must tell you things that men have done everything they could. From the dawn of human fall, the high did not pervert, silence, and destroy. Think about it. Like I told before, Rome, polytheists who worship whatever god they daggone well please and call it holiness, who hated the holy covenant, who hated Yah. Think about it. Who had no desire to see the will of one command their people. If it wasn't one of their own rulers. Had no intention, my brothers and sisters, to give themselves over to an absolute. In fact, in their Roman Catholic Catechism, one of the first things they talked about is that basically they sanctioned what Daniel said they would. They said that their rulers had the right to change divine law as they so pleased, Daniel 7:25. This is exactly what they did. But the Most High says he is unchanging. His righteousness endures forever. It says Messiah is appearing in the latter days will expose all the pretenses that men have called a multitude of new covenants. Like I said, all these different nations, denominations, institutions, political, social, and religious, all claiming in some respect they have some kind of new covenant unto nobody having what is entirely lawful. In fact, everybody antagonistic against what is lawful and daring in this lack of faith in one Yah. I said lack of faith. Daring to call it divine favor. Daring to call it the grace of Yah. Saying that the Most High has somehow given them license for every reprobate, undisciplined, wayward way and thought that man could imagine. The book of Yehuda speaks of it well. He said they pervert the grace of Yah. Saying that there's not one way. Turning men toward unbelief, not believing what Yah said. And Messiah would have to come in the last days. They have to convince men that so much what they have been taught was godliness. Sounds so much like the scriptures say when it says, watch out for false prophets. They cry out, Lord, Lord, but not unto the fullness of the will of the Father. And they teach everybody a bunch of different standards. Teach men to sin then against Yah, my brothers and sisters, and all their multitude of differences. Hey, the Messiah will say concerning them and those who follow them, hey, you never knew me. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we see better than this? Like I said, for Rome to submit beyond all the multitude of its various concepts of deity to the will of one would have been like a submissive surrender. And Rome and its people were not willing to do this. In the East, my brothers and sisters, the idea of all seeking to submit to the will of one that had been foreordained from the beginning to declare what is from the beginning before all these corruptions, before all worldly corruptions and divisions, was an expectation, but not in the West. Think about it. The people in the East knew the beginning as one, and they knew also in the that the eventuality and eternality shall also be the oneness and the harmony that is one, even one love. They knew it. In the West, my brothers and sisters, the story was different. They believed in a multitude of different gods. They wanted to, even their beginning, my brothers and sisters, they saw it all in chaos. No sense of firmity. Concept of deity divided. Concepts of eventuality. Also corruption. Even in death, they felt like one of the things they did is rejoice in the glories of war. Fight all day. If you get killed, wake up the next morning, fight some more. That's one of the ideologues, my brothers and sisters, that was in the minds of heathen nations and their rulers to keep the people feeling, oh, how great is the glory, they said, of war. Not peace, war. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we see the hopelessness in this? I mean, humanity has gotten to a point now that something has to bring an end to the warfare. Something has to bring an end to the greed. Even if this earth survive, and the Most High has already forsworn that this earth, unlike what some people tell you, Isaiah 45, says the earth one day should be brought to be justified before Yah, should not be confounded. He did not create this world, my brothers and sisters, for it to dwell in chaos and contentiousness and warfare, but he said that his people in it might dwell in it, and ultimately, my brothers and sisters, dwell in it in peace forever. Sounds like a whole lot better story. Whole lot better, if you will, my brothers and sisters. Vision, dream, and aspiration than what the concept of a multitude of contentious gods offer. And a multitude of gods, my brothers and sisters, so-called gods, deities, contentious one against another, that cannot be the will of the Holy Spirit. A multitude all calling themselves deity and strength in their contentiousnesses, my brothers and sisters, is a falling away. It is not true to the one. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, it is demonic. Didn't the Apostle Shaul tell us that if there's strife and divisions among us, it's because men are functioning as worldly, as after the flesh, not after the spirit? Spirit of Yah, my brothers and sisters, Scripture tells us that if we are true stewards, and we see any contentions amongst us, we should seek the Most High for what is necessary to bring about a healing. And we must all be willing to show ourselves reasonable unto that healing. Even humble unto that healing. Because Scripture says the Spirit of Yah. Messiah will say the Spirit of Yah is upon him to preach good tidings to the meek. How about my brothers and sisters? More than just to preach good tidings to the meek. To the humble. The Most High told me, in fact, the words that I'm showing you forth now, he told me. These words are precious, but they're only for the most humble soul. My brothers and sisters, when all show themselves humility, humble before a greater wisdom, that is the nature of a reasoning man. When men just are raped in their own personal passions, shutting their eyes to what is wiser. Every man feeling like he has an arrogant right to do so. That's not peace, my brothers and sisters. That's not the hope of peace. That's the functioning like brute beasts instead. And I talked before about how the very word for Gentile means a multitude of unreasoning beasts who will not discern the will of one. When the Scriptures talk about the Passover soon approaching, removing the leaven, what do you really think, my brothers and sisters, was always considered the leaven that the people who would be called true to holiness must overcome? Wasn't it always the pollutions of a vainly puffed up, self-righteous world? Scripture says he's going to redeem and restore Israel as of old and righteousness as of old. When he brings his people back from all the corruption to the nations. In fact, the Scripture says he's going to make a full end of all nations that he might teach his people again unto righteousness, justly, without distractions. You ever stop to consider what it means then? Is the leaven that must be overcome, cast out? Is man puffed up, my brothers and sisters? Puffed up in his pride. Puffed up in his own empty-mindedness, shallow-mindedness. My brothers and sisters, it is whatever it is that has kept all the nations divided that must be cast aside, that the people finally at last see what unto Yah is one and is true. I'd like to look at a little bit of scripture tonight. A lot of things I'd like to tell you. A lot of things that I didn't get a chance to speak about on last evening. Some things that I said that I was going to, first opportunity, seek to edit a bit so I can take out a little bit of the breakup that occurred toward the end of last evening's show, where we managed somehow to lose connection from Blog Talk Radio. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want you to hear me. We've talked about this scenario so many times, but I pray that what's necessary to make this point clear will come to bear tonight. Because as I wrote in the splash screen to the show, the intro to the show tonight, there can be no lasting hope of peace. Isaiah 48:22 speaks about this. No lasting hope of peace while wickedly lawless, ruthless, selfishly ambitious, self-opinionated, self-righteousness, arrogant and ignorance. Men, greedy men, have dominion in this earth. Everybody wanted to sit back and declare his own way. Like that song says, everybody has a plan made just by men. You ever stop to consider that Yah already had a plan established from the beginning? Whatever men seek to devise otherwise, talking about salvation, peace with Yah, has got to be a damn lie. I repeat, whatever it is that men would declare other than what the Most High declared from the beginning, that word that is from the beginning, even knowing the Messiah will ultimately come, we talked about this in Isaiah 48, saying that he is that word from the beginning that men have sought to obscure. Who, my brothers and sisters, willing to understand that be the case? It means whenever men taught another ideal to hold men in allegiance to differing concepts, it was adversarial, my brothers and sisters, against Yah. It was a word that was not the gospel. Like I said, there can be no lasting peace while wicked and lawless men have dominion in the earth. Think about it, as I said before, the Most High has talked about the way that must come to pass, the plan that must come to pass to bring peace in this world. He talks about delivering to mankind again an opportunity to see the truth. And whoever will not hearken to that truth, that one path, that recollection of what was spoken by all the prophets as an eventuality unto the restitution of all things, Acts 3:18-23 says. Think about what I'm saying. Whoever will not hearken what the Most High has spoken through the mouth of his holy prophets unto the restitution and the refreshing of all things, unto restoring order in this earth, the scripture says, should be cut off then from the hope of peace. Read Acts 3:18-23. I know that they wrote those things initially in a different order, but understand the essence. That is what we, as spiritual people, are supposed to do. We're supposed to be able to see the implications of a collaborative work of words and sentences and ideas, to be able to see, my brothers and sisters, more than just what is written, but to discern the essence of why. Most High told me, if we know what's said and don't know why it's said, we miss the point. And that causes men to lie, even though they read right out of the book. If the spirit of man, my brothers and sisters, reads the words and misinterprets those words and misunderstands those words, stop and consider, my brothers and sisters, man who believes that misinterpretation still has a lie in his heart. And no false testimony, my brothers and sisters, enters the kingdom of Yah. Realize how much we are beholden unto the Most High for his spirit to correct us and open our eyes in all things. Say, no hope for peace while men lawlessly have dominion in the earth. I wrote in the splash screen about Isaiah 48:49-52. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, these verses need to be looked at in the context, particularly of Revelation 6 through 7 chapters. You can talk about that tonight. Isaiah 48 says, I knew in advance that men would surely swear by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness, that men surely would lie. In fact, even in Malachi 3:13, it says that once the wicked can get control of the earth and the well set up in the earth, the same thing that was really said way back in the garden. The men will say, what good then is to keep the word, the command of the Most High, when the wicked are well set up? Well set up. Wow. I know that they set up bowling pins in the bowling alley, my brothers and sisters, for a reason. And when that bowling ball comes, my brothers and sisters, people don't intend for those pins to continue to stay and stand in that so-called nice raid. My brother says that's all an adversary does. He sets up something for it to be knocked down. But my brothers and sisters, think about it. The Most High has a plan that his righteousness must come forth in the world. What has captured the souls of men, trust in unrighteousness, must be cast down. But men have said indeed, what good is it that we keep the ordinance of the Most High? Because the wicked, the lawless, those who provoke the Most High seem to be well set up. So what good is that we keep the ordinances of the Most High hosts? And my brothers and sisters, this seems to be a word that many have fallen to, even though they know that we live in a very much so what is a Babylonish vicious cycle of confusion. The leaders teaching the confusion, the people being compelled to oblige it just to survive. And like I said, while the system still seems to be viable and offering the only hope of life and peace, many of my brothers and sisters go along with it, even though it's completely irrational. Well, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says the day will come when you will discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not. And why it is wise to serve Yah, we say when the wicked rules, this earth become ashes on the soles of the feet of the righteous, and his people are finally set free. Set free from this vicious cycle, my brothers and sisters, this vicious cycle of corruption wherein wicked rulers have compelled people to oblige all manner of wickedness, all manner of lawlessness, despising in so many ways what is the fullness of a holy covenant that men obliged to uphold unrighteousness don't recognize anymore their sin. If they don't recognize their sin, don't recognize what needs to be repented for. And so many of my brothers and sisters, even when they realize what they've done is sin, guess what? They are compelled to believe the Messiah gave his life so they can continue to walk in unbelief as if there's never going to be a judgment for an idle word. Yes, Messiah said himself, every foolish word a man speaks, he'd give account for it in the judgment. He said, your righteousness must exceed that then of those who compromise, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. People dare to say that Messiah can look upon all the contentious greed and avarice and insanity, unsoundness that's in the world, and believe the Most High is pleased with it. What does it say in Malachi 2:17? He says, tell the priest, you weary me with your words. You vexed him with his words. You sought to deny what is the purity and the power of divine authority in the world with a multitude of their different doctrines that people don't know which is which or what is what. That they don't even know to obey the truth anymore, he said in Galatians 3. See, women with your words, with all your different doctrine. I did not say a word that is from the beginning. I did not say that everlasting word that is from the beginning. But everybody's got their own words, resulting of a fall. Result of their own devices, that you women with your words. And that you say that everyone who does evil, the result of the fall, walking in his own ideals, walking according to what it means to be born of this world and not of Yah, and saying that the Most High delights or favors such as if the Most High is never going to judge men according to righteous judgments. Scripture says, and finally, the righteous one whom you seek shall suddenly come to the temple, and he shall rebuke, reprove, purge out all those who speak after a false voice. that finally Israel might be restored in righteousness as of old, pleading to the Most High as of old in righteousness, in the fullness of what is divine desire, and none having a heart against what Yah has decreed. What's the first command? You must love Yah. That means love His plan. With all your mind, heart, soul, and might. Teach your brothers to do the same. And this, my brothers and sisters, this would be a people called by the holy name, true to all the Most High declared on high as one. And that is the petition that we should pray for when it says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We petition the Most High, my brothers and sisters, for all that He would provide unto us peace. How about all that we need, my brothers and sisters, that in all things we should be fair. Discerning how to be fair, supplied with all that is necessary, my brothers and sisters, to make repairs of wherever it is that we have wrought destruction. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I want you to hear me now. What's really being said in Isaiah 48 chapter 49, 50, 51, 52, relative to the kind of word that's over in Revelation 6. I've talked a lot of times about how the white horse rider in Revelation 6 is Messiah himself, going forth with the gospel of peace. Red horse rider, the nations retaliating against that one word of holiness, that one word of peace. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, be there being a famine for a word. Black horse rider, red horse rider is the one that takes away the peace. The nations retaliating against this gospel, this one good and holy word from on high, retaliating to maintain all the divisions of the nations, all the various kings among the nations, the various rulers and the various priesthoods, various different social misorders that seem wise to a reprobate world. Roman rulers were just simply about the idea about the people functioning together under them. It wasn't about the idea, but wasn't that they were truly Yah? Like I said, was it about the idea about people being true to the mind of one? It was about things being ordered that the king might be praised, even in his lawlessness. That's the way the heathen envisioned things. And like I said, it was nothing else but a Babylon's vicious cycle and none declaring the truth. So, if we are wise, in as like I said in Revelation 6, White Horse Rider, I'm telling you, is Messiah, who will smite the world for righteousness' sake, who will smite the kings of the earth, my brothers and sisters, smiting them for the cause to make peace. That there be no more contentiousness is on the part of rulers, blind the minds against the discerning what indeed is the will of Yah. Red horse rider, my brothers and sisters, is the nations of this world that have despised the hope of a holy covenant peace, the hope of the gospel of peace, if you want to call it that, my brothers and sisters. The restoration of the one covenant against every fake new covenant. In fact, frankly, my brothers and sisters, there's only one covenant, but what the Most High declared from the beginning. Everybody declaring their own new covenant is not a covenant at all. It's not an agreement. Like I said, that word for new does not really relate new in the original texts. It relates to, like Scripture says, a restoration, a renewal, a restitution. In the hearts of men, my brothers and sisters, because the Most High never forgot. Read Isaiah 49. It talks about removal, my brothers and sisters, of every false standard of men, that men might be restored to the one pure and perfect covenant that is from the beginning without any of the selfish, blind illusions of men. Black Horse Rider is famine for a word. Amos 8:11-12 talks about the same. Pale Horse Rider, as a result, my brothers and sisters, of men all having tainted and polluted words, not the word of Yah. Therefore, being unbelief and not faith has been the wages of sin, my brothers and sisters, the wages of believing lies Scripture said those who believe lies, those who deceive, worship a false god. Gods are what they call their teacher and teaching. He said those who believe lies are made fools, trusting after the ways of the world that has no autonomous sense of divine authority. He said those who believe this foolishness. He did not say, my brothers and sisters, be saved. He said, be damned. My brothers and sisters, the intents of man does not make one a disciple of Yah. It is the spirit of Yah, my brothers and sisters, that teaches man unto righteousness. And so often men have wanted to run behind institutions that say they know what is right and have not been willing to search to find indeed what is right for themselves. That slothfulness, my brothers and sisters, has been the damnation of many souls. Revelation 6, if you will remember, finally talks about, well, after it talks about the saints of old that were murdered. Hey, murdered in the first century, 60 million murdered. Roman Empire, because there were those who sought to uphold to the will of one and not the perversions of many. Scripture did not say after that time, according to Matthew 12:24-20, there would come Messiah. He said after that time would come a rise of false prophets. Daniel even goes as far as to say in the Aramaic that it would be a long time, even after an entire millennium, a long time thereafter, before Messiah ultimately comes to bring the appointed time of peace. Took that out of your King James Version, too. But at any rate, my brothers and sisters, getting back. The point is, the scriptures say in Revelation 6 and 12, there was a great earthquake. There were voices and thunders and lightnings. Ah, how much is that like the scriptures in Revelation 10 and Amos 3 concerning what the Most High must do to cause his people finally to seek the will of one. All this you'll find on my website, by the way, www.hiddengospel.com, the article you'll find, Secret City Prophecies. Now it is possible to link to those articles by another or a few other URLs. I'll put them up in the chat now. These will just as easily take you to any of the articles. In other words, what I'm saying, you could actually type in www.israel with a Y, Israelite, as in LIGHT.com, and type in / the city, and it will take you to the same articles that took you to hiddengospel.com, the city. I think it's important, my brothers and sisters, to reach out and touch, because a lot of times people may actually look at the word hidden gospel and not realize its deep, deep, deep roots in the hope of Israel. And all that the Most High, my brothers and sisters, declared that Israel must be. I think it's very important that we come again to this. But again, Revelation 6th chapter talks about the kings running for cover. Because of a great earthquake. Revelation 16 speaks of the same. Talks about where we'll finally dry up the rivers, the dry up man's bondage and trust in the illusions of the nations and the illusions of the rulers. When you dry up the rivers, you're talking about freeing men of, let's just say, allegiance to a nation that they might finally seek Yah himself. That's exactly what's written in Isaiah 11, chapter 6. Men will no longer judge what their eyes see, nor what is near. There is here, and see if they're going to follow Messiah. And all nations shall seek after him, follow after him. And then the rest in peace, therefore, will be glorious and bring forth Israel and Judah again as one. Hey, what else is it saying, my brothers and sisters? When it says he shall slay the wicked, he shall slay also and expose, my brothers and sisters, all these pretentious standards that have been pollutions of false righteousness, unrighteous rulers, right there in the midst of the church, that people no longer recognize their multitude of divisions, even as sin, that they don't recognize that they're choosing in so many ways not to walk after the fullness of what the Most High has said has been a result of what could never be a new covenant with Yah. Most High never made a covenant to tell people to disobey. Most High never made a covenant and told people that all the things, like I said, the various nations denominations, cultures, and social misorientations of this world that have caused men to be self-righteously arrogant and greedy in their ambitions. If they have no respect for one autonomous authority, men turn around and say they'll exalt themselves. And everybody turns around and say, hey, one ruler is no better than another. Did they forget, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has already ordained from the beginning one who will become an inheritor of his mountain, that all people seek the Most High in truth? That's what's written in Isaiah 66. That's what's written in Isaiah 49. You ever stop to consider that's the reason why the Most never told you about these scriptures? That's what's written in Isaiah 65 going into 66. That's what's written in Isaiah 49. The Most High calls one an inheritor of his mountains. Isaiah 49, when he talks about one coming forth, saying, from the body of my mother, he made mention of his name. Declare the ways. In Isaiah 48, it says the ways that are right. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, what these scriptures are really saying? Why the kings are running for cover? Saying, hide from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. It is because, indeed, my brothers and sisters, announced from a city that will fall at the behest of a great earthquake that the Most High sends forth to shake all the nations. First reproving a city that is confused after all the ideals of the world, tell the whole world the time is up. And the leaders, my brothers and sisters, being put to shame because everybody suddenly knows. I said everybody suddenly knows that their leaders have been everything else but righteous men. All of a sudden everybody knows their leaders have been blind and treacherous men, willing to go along with okey-doke and compel the people to do the same unto the destruction and the damning of many souls as long as they felt like, hey, they could get away with it. Well, my brothers and sisters, think about it. It says at that time also the Most High is going to call forth his people, Israel. And his people, my brothers and sisters, are obviously those who will hear the testimony of the Most High, who prepare themselves to discern the testimony of the Most High. Yes, Israel shall come forth swiftly with speed. For a reason, my brothers and sisters, because they know beyond the imprudence of this world not to call evil good and good evil. They know not to call take bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They know that they should always have been seeking to discern fully what is the righteousness of the Most High. These are our people, my brothers and sisters, who in hearing a righteous voice will come swiftly to it, especially when the scripture talks about that time when Messiah will come to the rebuke of a city, rebuke of all that is among the churches. And when that great city, my brothers and sisters, is split in, like the scripture says, in three parts by a great earthquake, all the nations will know that all their foundations have been faulty. And it will cause the cities of all the nations, my brothers and sisters, all the faulty foundations upon which men have called themselves wise, all the false aspirations and dreams of all nations should be recognized as foolish. In a day when finally, my brothers and sisters, that word the Most High declared must come to pass, where he said he would break all the nations who denied his word. He said he would break all nations, my brothers and sisters, even give whole nations for the revival and the life of his people. When finally, my brothers and sisters, there will be no obstacle to his people's awakening among the nations. What's really happening at Isaiah 48 chapter, out of the 52nd chapter, relative to what's spoken in Revelation? When it talks about the one called the angel from the rising sun, the king of the east, the king, my brothers and sisters, is like the sun in that is concealed until it's rising. It's concealed by the world until it's rising. We talked about Isaiah 41 before. It says, I've stood on one from the north and the rising of the sun. The princes will come and be trodden down like mud as a pot of clay because someone will discern and declare the true name and the authority of the Most High Yah. No need to preserve any false rule anymore, my brothers and sisters, at that time. In fact, the declaration of that word will decide the hearts of every man who is willing to walk according to truth and who is not. What is it saying, my brothers and sisters, when it says, I stood one from the north? We're talking about that word north means concealed. In other words, it's one, my brothers and sisters, who's like the sun that is concealed, that the world seeks to hide the knowledge of. Yes, indeed. seeks to hide the knowledge of until the sun arises and nobody can hide it. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The scripture says in Isaiah 41, he beheld there was no one who understood, no one who could answer a question if asked in righteousness. Sound like Psalm 14 to Psalm 53. It says, men's thoughts and doctrines have all been vanity. It was not the gospel. It was not what the Most High told his people to expect. It wasn't that pure, perfect word from above. And then finally, people are told not to turn away from, but to behold and see him whom the Most High has sent with his spirit. His elect one in whom his soul delights, that he's put his spirit upon, that they might see again what is justice. Compare all that scenario, my brothers and sisters. And understand, like I said the other night, why over and over again the scripture talks about Messiah and his awakening shall herald a time when all the rulers of the earth will have to run for cover. Because the world finally understands how treacherous they are. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, just like the rulers of the earth have hunted down the righteous like dogs. It'll be a rough time in old town, my brothers and sisters. When people begin to realize just how treacherous their rulers have been. There's a reason why that scripture talks about those who have been cut down will murmur at the coming or the fall of the rulers. Oh, if you come weak, like weak as we. What do you think that a lot of folks are going to be aiming to do, my brothers and sisters, to a whole lot of rulers who lied to them? You need to think about it. Yes, indeed. It's over in Isaiah 14 chapter. It says they who were taken into captivity should go into captivity. Revelation 13 says the same. Think about it, as I told you before. Wherever men have been taught to uphold fallen standards, not to seek the fullness of the word of Yah, it has been the word of demons. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what the world has dared to call constitution's infirmity. Scripture says that people will find out in that day, relative to the true word, they had no foundation, no firmity at all. Matthew 7, because they didn't seek a fullness of a word after a spirit that teaches all things. What is it really saying then, my brothers and sisters, when we talk about the scriptures of Isaiah 48 chapter? Messiah coming forth because men have sworn by the holy name, but not in truth nor in righteousness, and the Most High by no means being pleased. Granting men an opportunity, it says, hey, for a short time, he said he would defer his anger. That he would grant men an opportunity to catch on to the truth. Because the Most High would not have his name polluted. He would not have his glory, my brothers and sisters, robbed from him that it might be given to another. Revelation 7:2 talks about the angel from the rising sun, the same one, that same king that scripture they call the king of the east, that king like the rising sun that casts aside all the darkness, that comes forth that was once concealed, or whose righteous men would not see, or would not allow themselves so many times to see. Though the Most High said he had revealed it, and not in secret, had not obscured it from the foundation what the truth is. Man just oftentimes has not been compelled to see what the reality is, has not oftentimes compelled the Most High to see beyond the illusions. But the Most High said the day comes when all eyes should see the glory, and men should be ashamed of what they had formerly upheld, discerning at last what all they had. And so many ways rebuked and mocked. That is the truth of Yah. Then will men discern how much they've been compelled to worship devils. Say all the world followed after the dragon who gave power to the beast, beast nations, all of them teaching a faulty testimony, a false word, a false message, not the word from on high, but a word that is worldly from men, to divide men, to fatally flatter men, my brothers and sisters, to death itself. What's really happening in Revelation 6 and 7, my brothers and sisters? What's really happening? Kings running for cover. Why? What is Messiah's word? The one who can declare and see how men have sworn by the holy name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Even who can make a declaration that there be a short respite or a short deferment of divine anger, that his people might have a chance to hear the truth. know the way that is right, the way that they should go. It's all there in Isaiah 48. He says he's going to bring Israel back to him. Israel's going to wake up first. And guess what? The folks who realize the system is wicked and know that it's completely off kilter and in every way lawless and look for the opportunity to be redeemed because they've struggled to discern what is righteousness, it makes total sense that they'd wake up first. Scripture says Israel is going to wake up first and be a light to the world. That means the world is in darkness. It means the world has trusted the darkness as if it were light and the light as if it were darkness. Isn't it time we understand the real, what's really happening there in Revelation 6 and 7 relative to this Isaiah 48? Messiah finally coming forth saying, hear me, O Israel and Jacob, my call, my elect, and understand that he is the first and also the last, that it is his hand that also laid the foundation of the earth. He said, without him, there was nothing made, the world were made. And it began with the word with Yah, this plan upon which all harmony and peace and firmity must exist. My hand spanned the heavens, he said. When I called them, they stood up together. In other words, his word spoke and caused all things to stand in their place. Kind of like reading the Psalm 24. Relative to third chapter, second capital, they call it second Peter. It is at the most, at the word of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, all things stand or fall at his word. So assemble all ye and hear, speaking to all his people, you say, blessed they who have ears to hear what the Spirit, what the true word of Yah has to say beyond all that which the leaders have obscured. Who is there among you? Who is there among you who declared this? Didn't the scripture say in Isaiah 41 that before a certain time there'd be none who declared? None who would be prepared to want to even hear fully these words. Meaning the thoughts of men have been vanity. Thoughts of men have just been puffed up illusion. Who is there among you who declared these things? The Lord has loved him. He said before, he said there was no one. He said there was no intercessor. That means the ones whom the Most High would ultimately, or he whom the Most High reveals these plans, has been particularly favored. Even my brothers and sisters to overthrow Babylon. Think about 2 Thessalonians. It says he was relative to 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, relative to Isaiah 11, talks of one who will overthrow Babylon, it says in the 13th chapter. One who will overthrow, expose, and slay all that is a wicked standard in the world. That he will perform what is divine will against all that is this confusion. Yirmiyahu 51 talks about one called the King of the Medes who bore the title King of the East. Who bore the title, my brother and sister, they called him Danka, or Sunrise, East. And the Aramaic Targums and Zechariah. It reads, a man whose name is the East, or like the rising sun, will have dominion and will give rule to the earth. In other words, restore it to a sense of what is righteous rule. When they wrote down branch, the word Samach, Anatolia, Danka, all those words mean that which suddenly springs forth, my brothers and sisters, like a plant will spring out from the darkness of the earth. And like the sun, my brothers and sisters, suddenly springs forth from beyond the horizon. They said dark is before the dawn, my brothers and sisters. Most High will show the greatness of his power, my brothers and sisters, when he casts aside all the darkness. I want you to understand what this scripture is saying. Isaiah 48 chapter 15 verse, Messiah saying, same thing said in Isaiah 41. He said, Yah, even Yah, has promised. Yah, even Yah, has called him. Isn't that the same thing as over in Isaiah 41st chapter? Who has stood up this righteous one from the east? He said, who has caused him to subdue even kings? What are a multitude of diverse kings, brothers and sisters, contentions, one against another but Babylon. He said, I have called him. I have made his way prosperous, or let's just say, to grant him the victory in his mission. He said, who has called him that he should subdue even kings? He said, as I, the Most High. Was it not? Surely it was. Yeah. Who is that one called the righteous one from the east that's being spoken of then in Isaiah 48? The scripture goes right on from that, Isaiah 49, speaking of what Messiah must do in the latter days to bring his people back to him. Bring Israel and Judah under one expected one, that all the tribes of Israel shall again be one. Think about it, my brothers and sisters, the same scenario. He said, out of his mouth come a sharp two-edged sword. Same thing. He made my mouth like a sharp sword, Revelation 19, to smite all the nations, just to declare absolutely the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not, to shepherd the nation with a rod of iron. Same thing said in Isaiah 19. Most haven't understood what he's really saying down there. He said, they put down there, they put Egypt or all the Babylonians under a... they called him a, they put down cruel lord. The word actually there, my brothers and sisters, relates to the idea about one who is declared absolute standard, unwavering, that men no longer be left any more subject to doubt, that men might truly be delivered from every illusion and lie, or is that not what men have desired? Come on, my brothers and sisters, I want you to consider something. Men have dared to sit back and say that they were safe and saved, while men were left to believe whatever they will, do whatever they will, and sit back and call it an agreement with the Holy One of Truth. That is, again, so much insolvent insanity. Messiah said he made no request for the world, no request for those who are not concerned about the sanctity and the truth of his name. And my brothers and sisters, so many have been so concerned about what they wanted to call salvation after what a blinded world would accept, that they actually proved they had no real genuine consideration or love of Yah. Like I say, anytime you talk about putting away divine law, you leave men subject to a multitude of devils. And the end result of that, my brothers and sisters, can only be, I say, can only be mass damnation. If they didn't tell you this, or they compel you to believe otherwise, hey, my brothers and sisters, scripture tells you, that a man consider himself wise after all these differences in this world. That's called the flaw, the false law. Man can be justified by a world that compromises with everybody's insanities against Yah. He said, if you trust that that's wisdom, know you've been a fool. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who wish you that you should not obey the truth. The truth does not deny itself. The truth is not contentious, nor is it a multitude of contradictions. But the curses of this world that are not the gospel certainly are contentious. Who bewitched you that you should seek to walk after a word that contradicts itself, or a multitude of different standards that contradict and compromise themselves against reason. It makes absolutely no sense. But this is what people have done. And called it political correctness, politic. Sounds kind of buggy to me. Correctness? No, my brothers and sisters. If people consider a multitude of conflicting idea of correction and justification, that is foolishness. It's time to see beyond the illusion. It's time to discern the scriptures in terms of what they are really, really actually saying. Think about it. Isaiah 48th chapter. What does it say? Isaiah 48th chapter. It says Messiah is going to come forth at the behest of the Most High himself, saying what? Well, not only is the Most High assured that he will have victory against all the confusion, and think about the Messiah is not the king of confusion. I keep saying that again. He did not sanction all the illusions of this earth that men should walk after sin and call it wise. He did not say he gave his life that men walk after the confusion of the world, but recognizing one Lord, you get rid of all the confusion that comes as a result of trusting in many. Isaiah 48, What does it say here, my brothers and sisters? Messiah will come forth saying what? Well, let's look at Isaiah 48:16. Come ye near to me. Sound like Isaiah 45. Draw near to me and be saved on all the ends of the earth. I alone am a just one and a savior. Come near to me. Hear this. It's not a word that has been spoken in secret from the beginning. It's not a word that he sought to obscure, even though men may have sought to deny it so they could justify themselves in every newer dimension of a harmonic of perversion they fall into. More men fall away from the truth, the more he seeks to be justified by some polluted standard, some perverse polluted standard that is not complete repentance. Come ye near to me, he says, and hear this. Have I not spoken? Spoken this from the beginning? He is not the Most High who obscured it either. He says, from the time that it was, says the King James, from the time that it was, from the creation, it means. Look at it in the Aramaic, there am I. Said all the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of Yah. Shall a man have the spirit, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High, this very spirit by which the Most High declared the order of all things and not seek that same initial order? Or shall he seek deviation? Come on, people. Let's see the real. If the expectation is according to the will of one as it was from the beginning, this idea about men having a new unholy covenant, a multitude of unholy covenants denying the pure and perfect will that makes one, has all been one devilish scheme. The only covenant the Most High declared, my brothers and sisters, from the dawn of the human fall, is the eradication of every false influence that would blind the minds of his people. Your leaders didn't tell you because it means their sin. They are sin. They are the confusers. That's why they never told you about these words. That's why they never told you about the secret city prophecies. That's why they never told you who Messiah said he is when he said he's the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. One who cast out all the darkness that the world will not be able to obscure forever. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, and understand. He says, and now, according to what was decreed from the beginning then, has the Most High Yah and His Spirit sent me. Isaiah 42, behold, my servant, my elect and my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. That's Isaiah 41 through 42. So much like the scriptures in Matthew 12 and 18. Here in Isaiah 48, going to 49 again, we have the scriptures speak about one called the Kirti. And one the scriptures call the King of the Medes. The righteous one like the rising sun. And another scripture, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says in Matthew 12:18, it is Yeshua himself. Yeah, I keep telling you, my brothers and sisters, a lot of folks are going to be shocked to find out they never knew who Messiah is. He said, I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. That's in Isaiah 45, my brothers and sisters, concerning the one Most High calls his anointed. King James Version called him Cyrus. Wasn't his name. Like I said, his kingdom was called Kurdistan for a reason. Him and my brothers and sisters, it's time to understand. Like I said, look at that article again of mine. Since I've oftentimes written as hiddengospel.com, I'll go ahead and put this down this time. Israelite.com, early church origin. Israel with a Y and L-I-G-H-T. Understand, my brothers and sisters. Yah always had a plan. And for man to forget that plan, he's become deviated. For man to forget that plan, my brothers and sisters, he hasn't kept the command. He's always told that he has the responsibility to preserve these words and to seek these words for the blessing of all. That's the love of Yah. Anything else is love of something else. You can't accept that word. All nations have compelled men, my brothers and sisters, to forget that message. Call men unto other allegiances and call it blessed. Blessed to curse the Most High? No, my brothers and sisters, I know not. And so should you. See, I've not spoken in secret, Isaiah 48:16. From the time that it was, from the beginning, there am I. Now the Most High with the Spirit has sent me. It said, thus says the Most High, thy Redeemer. Oh, what is he doing all this for? It's to redeem mankind from everything and everyone and every institution that in its illusions and having hid the truth have left men by default to trust a lie. Thus says the Most High, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I, the Most High, am the Holy One, if you will, that teaches thee how to do right, who leads you by the way that you should go. Because guess what? The other leaders have not. They led men astray. They've never taught them the fullness of the testimony. They might be called or discerned, indeed, what is wise. He said, oh, that you had hearkened to, kept, maintained, and understood with a whole heart. He said, my commandments, my word, that word that is from the beginning, except from the creation, there am I. Like I said, the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things to eradicate the lie. Messiah does not send forth his spirit, my brothers and sisters, to justify every obtuse lying thought that comes to the mind of a reprobate, animalistically, fleshly excuse for humanity. Man was created from the beginning, Manu, to commune with his creator. And he said, Most High told man, that the day he sins, he turns away from the reasoning of Yah, what else could he be? If he's not true to the purpose for which, anything that's not true to the purpose for which the Most High made it, my brothers and sisters, will find death and not life. I repeat, anything that will not perform the purpose for which the Most High made it, and he made man to commune with him. Man refusing to commune with the Most High and being prideful after a multitude of illusions, not accomplishing the purpose of man. Hey, what separates man from beast? Whether or not he chooses or can commune after the higher vibration of his creator. For that was the purpose of man. Talked a lot about that of late too. Oh, that thou had hearkened to my command. It's kept, preserved, understood, obeyed. That's all that word hearken means. To my commandments. I didn't say the rule of another. Then your peace would have been as a river, ever-flowing river, blessed from on high. Like I said, rivers flow from the top of the mountains. And thy righteousness is the ways of the sea. See, the ways of the sea, my brothers and sisters, travel from shore to shore. There would have only been peace. And thy seed, oh, get this, my brothers and sisters, thy seed also would have been as the sand, none perishing. And the offspring of the bowels, like the gravel thereof. He's speaking to humanity over the course of generations, my brothers and sisters, past, present, and future. The seed would have been as the sand, the offspring, like the bottom, like the gravel thereof, and their name. Let's just say, put it this way, my brothers and sisters. Most High calls his people by his name, that they be upheld in his righteousness, in his truth, even unto life. A lot of folks are going to be ashamed, if you will, cut off from the hope of that name because they refuse the testimony of the Most High. So if you kept his commands, you would have held on to the word of life. And many would not be destroyed before him. My brothers and sisters, many have perished for lack of knowledge. Now comes judgment. Did you hear me? Now comes the time of the judgment, because the Most High has promised that there shall be peace on earth. And he's going to bring forth that peace as an irrevocable promise, according to what he declared from the beginning. He tells his people, my brothers and sisters, to go forth from Babylon if you're going to save your lives. You'll find that in Isaiah 52. Let you become partakers of all that is. Man upholding a multitude of his sins, his divisions against divine vision, all the false testimony that have ensnared and held men in bondage to death. He's going to lead his people, my brothers and sisters, through a time of lack that this world is going to definitely undergo. And he's going to definitely lead his people past all the afflictions that shall smite all the nations. That's why you talk about receiving the seal of Yah, that you not, let's just say that you survive the wrath of Yah that is to come. Look at the 9th chapter of Revelation compared to Revelation 7. We got just a short time. My brother and sister, he says there's no peace while man walks under this vicious cycle, so he's going to remove my brother and sister the obstacle. Read Isaiah 49, my brother and sisters. Time left, they tell me only about 10 seconds. I pray the Most High provide you with all the necessary unto his peace, all the necessary unto justice. Thank the Most High every year that he brings near unto his praise always, my brothers and sisters, till we speak again. Hallelujah! I thank the Most High again for every year he brings near. Who is it among you, my brothers and sisters, that sees the vision of the Most High, that he might declare it in his time?